back to Extension 720 on 720 WGN.
It's a 9 o'clock hour here for Extension 720. I am Justin Kaufman. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're talking Lit Fest tonight, the annual extravaganza, the Printers Row Lit Fest, which is this weekend. Having different authors and people from the literary community on the program tonight to celebrate. It's sort of like the conference, right? It's like a literary conference for Chicago. It's always fun to do. Great thing about LitFest is that it features more than just authors having conversations or books for sale. It also ranges out and features performances, and in this case, cooking demos. One of the cooking demos that will be presented on Saturday at 3:45 will focus on Indian food. Cookbook author Anupi Singla will present The Indian Slow Cooker. Singla was an award-winning journalist who worked here in Chicago at WGN-TV and CLTV, among other places. But she hung up the microphone for a career in cooking. Anupi has become one of, if not the most foremost authority on Indian cooking in this country. She'll be talking about The Indian Slow Cooker on Saturday, but she's also published other books, including Indian for Everyone, The Home Cook's Guide to Traditional Favorites. She's the co-founder and CEO of Indian as Apple Pie. You can find her writings at that site. Anupi Singla, welcome to Extension 720. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So this is, do I say that right when I say that you hung up a microphone for a career in cooking? Because, yeah, I mean, you are a familiar face to many Chicagoans who woke up to you both on CLTV and WGN.
I literally did, and it was largely because my grandfather from India taught me how to cook and how to have this love of Indian food. I was born in India, raised outside of Philadelphia. Mm. Our first town that we lived in was Pottstown, Pennsylvania. I learned how to speak English from Sesame Street, and I always cooked. And then when I had my kids, but my husband was a consultant, leaving on Monday, coming back on a Thursday. Mm. It was really tough. And we were talking about this earlier during that morning shift.
It's grind. It's a
grind.
Oh,
my gosh. And it was just so tough. And I thought, okay, what's my priority here? It would have been different if he'd been at home. I'd still probably be doing news. But we had to pick and make a life decision. Do we teach these kids how to appreciate their roots through food? Or do we go ahead and just keep on with the grind? And I just decided to take a little bit of a break.
How do you do that? How do you make sure that your kids appreciate the roots of the food in which they came? I mean, how do you do that? How does a parent even start in that conversation?
So that was my question. Growing up, my mother had no choice. My father demanded Indian food. That's what he was raised on. So she worked outside the home. But in India, we have a lot of help in the home. So you have cooks, you've got folks to help out with the kids. In the States, you don't have that. And so you're doing it all yourself. So how do you go about giving them this appreciation for their culture through food? I did it by just saying, okay, I'm not cooking anything but Indian, guys. Figure it out. Are you going to love it? Are you going to hate it? There will be some days when you're not going to eat it. I get that, but you're not going to get something else. And I got to tell you this really funny story. So my older daughter, she's 16 now. She was going to kindergarten, rather, and she comes home one day. She goes, Mom, I've got this amazing thing that people are eating at school. It's so cool. They're eating this thing for lunch. And I'd been giving her all of these really cool Indian treats and sending them in her lunchbox and thinking I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. She goes, there's this thing, Mom. They're calling it a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I thought, done. Why am I making it so tough on myself? You got it, kid.
For you to introduce Indian food and have that really that mission, that is to, this is what we're going to do, like it or not, right? What are the tenets? What is the basics that if I were going to do that, if I were going to say, you know what, I want a lifestyle that's just Indian food, what are the things that are the base level you have to have?
Well, you've got to have a mom that's a great cook, right? So there's a little bit of a tradition.
Okay, I'm down
there.
One. Okay, great.
I'll lend you my mother. Yeah, okay, I'm happy good, to do it. But the other aspect is just the tools in the kitchen, right? Surround yourself with the right spicing and the right spices. Most folks believe that we eat curry as part of our spice repertoire. We really don't. There is nothing called curry, generally speaking, officially speaking, in the Indian repertoire of spices. We eat with whole spices, cumin, turmeric, coriander seed.
Like seven or eight, right? Mm-hmm. That are must have.
Exactly. And from them, we make all these cool blends. Now, why does everything get called curry? Well, because curry in the Indian food spectrum to us means gravy. So when we say we're eating a curry, and when the Brits say we're going to go out for a great curry, it's for a great gravy, not for something that has a curry spice in it.
How much do you have to fight against what Indian food being stereotyped or mislabeled or mischaracterized, because that seems to fall into that category.
Absolutely, it does. But I view it as a challenge, and I love it, because some people say, well, do you get upset when people don't get it? And I'm like, no, it's just a way of educating folks. And actually, when you take the pressure off other people, it's okay to ask questions and say, you don't know. I've never eaten meatloaf. So there you go. I'm going to ask you questions about it. It's all right. Like, we've become so scared, I feel like, as a society, to ask questions. So I would say there's no bad question. It's just, where is it coming from? It's coming from a space where you're honestly wanting to know more. That's great. Bring it on. I'm happy to answer it.
The food itself, and I think about, you know, obviously because of the relationship with Britain. But the food that comes to America, I mean, is it traditional Indian food? If you trace the migration of the food, where is it coming from? Is it just coming from the first immigrants who came from India? Or is there a sort of, you know, a funny line of where the food actually jumped from country to country to come here?
Well, that's so interesting you ask, and I'm glad you asked that question, because so much of the food that we're getting in the States is going to be more from that Punjabi sort of North Indian region. That's where I'm originally from. But gosh, India is vast, and there are so many different types of cuisine, right? So if you're talking about eating spicy foods, really rich curries, meaning gravy, you're talking about all these different spices like cumin seed and all of this, you're talking about the north part of India. But now what you're seeing, the trend in Indian food really is regionalized Indian cooking. And if you go across the country, you will see pockets in the U.S., which I find fascinating, finally giving folks this ethnic, regional Indian cuisine. So part of it is the dosa phenomena. So if you go out west to San Francisco, you've got restaurants that are experimenting with dosa, which is that crepe made out of fermented rice and lentils. I feel like it's kind of gotten the regeneration, because now people want something that's a gluten-free alternative to the breads. Mm. And so thus, they're more willing to try it. In South India, that's traditionally a breakfast food. So it's interesting how if you package it and market it in different ways, it becomes more exciting.
And the other thing, too, before we get back into the work that you're doing and the cookbooks, it seems to me more often than not, Indian food, especially when presented in contemporary ways or contemporary restaurants, is done in a fusion, where you're going to see Indian food and what the base and some of the things we're talking about here mixed with another, maybe more of a, other sort of South Asian influences or maybe even something entirely different. But the idea being that there seems to be a lot of creativity coming off of Indian food when it comes to fine dining in this country.
There is a jump to do that, but what I believe was not found and was needed was an explanation of what Indian food was to begin with.
Right.
And that is my platform. And that's what I say. When you come to me, I'm not the best cook you've ever eaten from, but I will explain what everything is. And I'm going to give you basic recipes to start with and then take them and make them fusion from there. That's not what I do. Right. I'm going to teach you how to make real, authentic. And what is authentic? But I'm saying authentic to
how
I grew up.
Does it mess with that message and that mission? When some chefs obviously are finding ways in Indian cuisine to, because of the blend of spices and what you're talking about, to have a field day, to be able to do a lot of different fusion things and represent the food in so many different creative ways. Does it kind of mess with the message when people come out of that and they go, oh, that French Indian food I just ate was so good. I love Indian food. And you're like, that's not Indian food. That's something entirely different.
You know, so I'll take it back to this analogy. So The Simpsons, you have that character Apu, right?
Yeah.
People get so upset about the fact that he speaks a certain way, he looks a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. I never really got too upset about the character. I got upset that there weren't more positive characters out there to balance it out. Because we should be able to laugh at ourselves. We should be able to joke around. We should be able to be open to different characters out there, a different cuisine. But if there's not enough of what we really believe is Indian food, then all of a sudden it's skewed.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's enough of us talking, and I'm not the only one that should be out there. There's more out there, right? We should all be talking about it. And that's what we're trying to do and create a better understanding across the country, including right here in Middle America.
Cookbook author Anubi Singla in studio right now. She is going to to be at the Litfest on Saturday, 3:45. She will be presenting a cooking demo, The Indian Slow Cooker, which is one of her books. She's also the author of Indian for Everyone, The Home Cook's Guide to Traditional Favorites. We'll take a quick break, come back, continue the conversation here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Anupi Singla in studio. We're here on Extension 720. We're talking about the Indian Slow Cooker, as well as the cooking demo at the Lit Fest coming up here on Saturday, but also her book, Indian for Everyone, The Home Cook's Guide to Traditional Favorites, and your mission. And it is, you're an entrepreneur in the sense that you're creating a company. Indian is Apple Pie is the company, and the website's great, and you can find a lot of great stuff, not just the books and recipes and ingredients, but also writings and blogs and things like that. Where does that discipline come from? To be able to do that, to continue to push and to write about this stuff and to follow that mission, being a former news person, does it help you in that regard? Are you using some of the disciplines that you learned from the work in the past?
I gotta say, it's so funny that you asked me this, and I always say this to my former colleagues and friends in news. We are awesome, especially outside the newsroom, because we've got all these things going for us. Yeah. We know how to make a deadline. Mm-hmm. We know how to be there 15 minutes early. We know we're going to be there no matter what happens. We're going to get you your stuff. It's going to get done. We're going to get it done from beginning to end, and we're going to do it right. And if we don't do it right, we're going to tell you that we didn't do it right, and we'll fix it. So all of that
That's the training, right?
Yeah, and also being a pit bull, right? So you're going in, and you're going to say, maybe someone will say no to you once, twice, three times. You keep going back. And guess what? The next time, you're nicer than ever. I remember one time I went into a retailer, and I guess I didn't do the demos the way they wanted me to do them, and the buyer came down, looked at me, he started screaming at me in the middle of this store that I hadn't been in there enough. And I thought, my God, that feels like a newsroom. Like, come here and give me a hug. You need a hug. And then we ended up being great friends. So it's like you just let things roll off and you just keep moving. And I always say business is like a puzzle. It is like putting finding a new piece of that puzzle every day. And that puzzle piece today just didn't fit. Tomorrow you try it another way, and you know what? It's not always going to work. You just keep at it and go, go, go.
Well, you mentioned, with buyers and publishing and cooking demos and all the way down the line, how much did you have to learn about this stuff? If you're moving from a news world to a cooking world, there's a lot of shorthand and industry jargon and everything in between that cooks know and chefs know and book publishing knows that you might not have been familiar with.
I was not familiar with probably about 80% of it, and I just learned. I put my reporter hat on, and I asked a lot of questions, and I don't mind sounding silly or sounding supposedly stupid. It's fine. And you know what I do, too? I love going into situations where people think they know everything. I had a friend who was a New York Times reporter, and he said to me, he goes, Anupi, I went to this story, and I asked the guy, I wanted him to be impressed with my knowledge, so I told him everything I knew about his space and his company. And he didn't say a word. Hmm. And I said, well, why aren't you talking? He said, well, you haven't asked me a question. And so I go into situations, and honestly, if I feel like people know more than me, I just shut up. And I just listen, and I write notes, and I learn, and then I make mistakes, and I go back and I learn again.
When you're in the field that you're in, and you are pushing and pushing to be the go-to person for Indian cooking in America, is there competition? I mean, are there cookbook authors on the coasts and other places and people who are building empires like yours here in Chicago that are competing for that same space?
They absolutely are. And I think what makes me slightly different from them is I love it when you have a sandbox and we're all in there working and playing together, because when I was a reporter, I had two photographers out in the field with me. We worked better as a team. I have a lot. The difference, I think, between myself and others, and I won't name names, is often they don't like to play in the sandbox together. And they tend to be nervous about end up being territorial or, oh, my book's doing better. Da, da, da. I say, hey, someone is coming after my book. There's going to be a new book and a new concept. What's going to happen is, though, when you make a recipe from that new book, you need spices to go in there. Go buy mine. Mm-hmm. Use that other book. I don't mind.
That's a great point because, for me, I and Pete will attest, and some of the listeners will attest as well, that I've been a failure of a cook, especially when it comes to slow cooking, which how can you even do? How can you mess that up? And I have, and maybe it's, you know, maybe I'm a little bit more adventurous than I need to be.
It wasn't from one of my recipes,
no,
though, was it?
Okay, no. You're... But I've tried Indian food. And when it's done and, you know, I've followed the recipe, I don't have an authentic understanding of what I'm putting together. And so I'm going to Whole Foods or I'm going to the Jewel and I'm like, I'm going to get this, and this. And then I put it together based on what it tells me to do. And it ends up tasting like corned beef or whatever. It's not what it's supposed to, pasta or whatever. So, but something, when I read your website and I'm going through it, there is this value in understanding how these things come together, how these flavors, these spices, these blends, the ingredients, the vegetables, the vegan aspect of the food, all of this stuff is educational to make me a better cook.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is too, I'm coming from a point where I was 3 when I left India, but I still remember all those flavors. And I go back to India and I love them and I appreciate them. And that's where I'm most comfortable, is on the streets of India eating street food with my relatives. So I really understand how those flavors come together and have an appreciation for them. And I like deep, deep, deep flavors. So when I wrote my books, I found the Indian cookbooks I'd used previously, I wouldn't even notice the chili peppers in there. Mm. I would never cook some of those recipes that way. And they were kind of toned down for this market. And I decided I was not going to do that. And so some of the feedback I get on Amazon is often, wow, this woman's nuts. I mean, her chili level's so high. Well, that is how I make it at home. And you have an instruction and also common sense, I would think, to cut those right. chilies in half or a third.
Right. That's what I'm missing, common sense.
Oh, that's I think that's the chilies.
No, not the chilies, the common sense. Chicago. I think about New York, I think about California, San Francisco, and I think those are communities that really understand Indian food or accept and embrace it. Does Chicago? I think of Devon Avenue, no doubt, and I think of some other spots that are in Chicago, but is Chicago an ethnic food town?
Well, okay, you asked me the leading question, and I know I'm going to get a lot of feedback on this one. I have been here 20 years. I've traveled the world. I've lived all over. And I got to say, I was disappointed when I came here, and I married my husband, who's a lifelong Chicagoan. If he's listening, he's going to be very upset with me. He's probably going to change the locks on the door and not let me in. But you know what? I do not see Chicago as an ethnic food town. I think it's getting there. I do think we do a great job on the high end in terms of ethnic foods, but that mid-tier where I can go to a New York restaurant or Vancouver, or I can go to San Francisco and grab a bowl of whatever it might be. Even Washington, D.C. at the train station, at Union Station, I can walk in and grab my Chinese and it's delicious stir fry. I'm not getting that sense here in Chicago. I hope we're getting there. I think we are. But I want more of those kind of eateries. And with Indian, I think they want it. I think we want it, I should say.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it'll take a little bit of time to kind of get to that point.
Hanupi Singla, thanks so much for coming in tonight. You're going to be at the Printers Row Lit Fest at 3:45 on Saturday. That's when people can come down and argue with you about ethnic food. It's 3:45 at the center stage, 632 South Dearborn Street. Hanupi Singla, the Indian slow cooker. She's also the author of Indian for Everyone, the Home Cook's Guide to Traditional Favorites. And she's also the co-founder and CEO of Indian as Apple Pie, which is indianasapplepie.com.
Exactly.
Hanupi, thanks so much for coming in, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Thanks for having me.